For my message tonight, I will read from Mark 4, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Mark 4, 35 through 41. And the Word of God says the following. On the same day, when the evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How it is that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" My message tonight is very simple. It comes from verse 40, the first thing Jesus said to them, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful?" I will start with an illustration. In the British Museum in London, there is a very, very old map. It's a map of the shoreline of the Americas from the 1500s, I think 1525. And since they had no satellites, no GPS back in the day, how will a cartographer make a map? Based on what people told him, based on the ocean-going crews, based on the sailors who told him this is how the shore is, this is the distance, and so on. So on this map, there were different notations. They were warning the sea crews about the reefs, where they might be so they don't run ashore. They were telling them about the best harbors, where they could find a safe harbor in case of problem. But there were also certain sections of the map that were relatively blank. And in there were some notations like, "Here be giants. Here be fiery scorpions. Here be dragons." And throughout history, we see that mariners, that sailors, they were afraid of the unknown. They didn't know what's beyond the sea. And tonight, I would like to talk about fear. What do you fear? I was thinking about this message a couple of weeks ago when we had that shooting up in Washington State at the high school there. And my thought was, I'm a teacher. I work in a high school. I'm like, what do I do if this happens here? What is your fear? Are you fearing for your kids as they go to school? There might be a shooting. Around the same time, there was a terrorist attack up in Canada. Are you fearing of another terrorist attack? Are you afraid of Ebola? That's the newest thing. Or Ebola, I don't know how you say it, but it's the newest thing. And I really think there's a conspiracy there, but I will not get into it. But are you afraid of dying? Are you afraid of cancer? Are you afraid of disease? There's all kinds of fears that we have. I know there's two very great fears I have. One, it's kind of a fear of heights, and that leads me to be afraid of flying. Even though I've been on a plane for so many times and so long, flying to Romania and back, I'm still afraid of flying. And the other fear is speaking in front of people. No, it is a fear that I do have. But tonight we're going to explore the fear that disciples had and how did they react to it. First, I want us to notice that fear isn't always a bad thing. Fear is natural. It's part of our self-preservation. That's how we survived this long, because of fear. Because think about it, if there was no fear, how many crazy things we would have done that would have put our lives in danger. And we have to look at the disciples. They are very experienced fishermen. They've been on the rough seas before. And to be this afraid of the sea, I'm sure they had a good reason. I'm sure they saw plenty of fishermen that never made it back. And they had a very good reason to get scared, to be afraid. The experience they had taught them this could be very dangerous. This might be our last trip on the sea. Also, we're teaching our children to be afraid, right? When you tell them not to stick that nail into the electric socket. Now, I did it differently with my brother. I actually had him stick it in. And maybe that's why he never became an electrician after that. But we teach kids to be afraid. Even the Bible teaches us to be afraid of God, to have the fear of God. But not just that fear that, you know, oh yeah, I respect you and, you know, you're in your world, I'm in my world. But that fear of him, like, do not stick that nail into this electric socket. You know, don't mess with God. You know, he don't play with him. Now, since fear is such a natural thing, since fear is something normal, why is Jesus rebuking his disciples? Why is he rebuking them for being afraid? And when I paid closer attention to this text, I saw that he wasn't rebuking them for being fearful, for having fear, because there is that "so" there. Why are you so fearful? De ce sunteți așa? Pentru ce sunteți așa de fricoși? Așa de. That's the Greek word that's translated here with "so" means in this way, in this manner. So basically Jesus is saying, why are you reacting to this storm in this manner, in this way? And how did they react? How did this experienced fisherman react? First, they panicked. And second, it seems they were a little bit angry. When they went to wake up Jesus, verse 38 says, Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How can you be sleeping when we're dying here? Why aren't you as afraid as we are?" Now, just think of people who are in the middle of the storm, and you go and try to calm them down, try to encourage them, and say, they react angrily and say, "You don't understand. You don't care about me." Or when they see you calm in the middle of a storm and say, "How can you be so calm? Why aren't you afraid? Why aren't you doing this or that?" And they're angry at you because you're not afraid. So Jesus was not rebuking them for being fearful. He was rebuking them for their reaction to fear. And my question tonight is, how do you react to fear? They were angry. They were afraid. They were in despair because, what does Jesus say in the second part of the last part of verse 40 says, "How is it that you have no faith?" Why were they afraid? Why were they in despair? Because they had no faith. They didn't believe that there's a way out. And that's what happens to us. We're in the middle of a storm. That's when we tend to lose our faith. When we feel that we cannot do anything to solve the problem. And we forget that we don't have to do anything. Because there's a third truth that I want to get out of this. And I think this storm was no accident. God intended to have this storm. Because before, Jesus was talking to them in parables, teaching them about faith. And I think God was trying to test their faith. Because C.S. Lewis once wrote, "You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes of a matter of life or death. It is easy to say that you believe a rope to be strong as long as you're merely using to cord the box. But suppose you had to hang by that rope over a precipice. Suppose you have to have your life depending on that rope. Wouldn't you then first discover how much you really trusted that rope. It's easy to say, yeah, God is wonderful, God is great, but when you really hang in the balance, do you really trust God? In the middle of the storm, disciples failed. They failed their test. In the middle of the storm, they panicked. In the middle of the storm, they were angry. And storms come into our life not just, you know, because God likes to see how we react to it, but He wants to use those storms to educate us. He wants to use those storms to change us, to challenge us. He wants to use those storms to strengthen our faith in Jesus. Because this story is not as much about the storm as it is about Jesus, the Creator, the one who was able to calm the storm just with a few words. That's what the disciples were fearing at the end. Because it's only in the middle of the storm do we really know how much faith we have in God. Do we really know how much faith we have in that rope when your life depends on it? And in conclusion, I want to return back to that illustration, the map from the beginning of this short message. Before he got into the museum, that map belonged to Sir John Franklin in England in the 1800s. And this guy, this sir, this lord, was very offended by the fear of the ancient mariners, by the fear of the sailors who gave the information for this map. So wherever he saw the inscription, "Here be giants, here be fiery scorpions, here be dragons," he scratched those out. He crossed them out, and he wrote, "Here is God. Here is God." If there's fear in your heart, if there's fear inside of you, scratch that out and just write, "Here is God." Because somebody once said that trusting Jesus in your storms, trusting Jesus in your struggles, in your trials, trusting Jesus that in every circumstance He's going to be on your side, is you saying, "For this, I have Jesus. For this, I have Jesus." Did you lost your job? Are you unemployed? You cannot pay your rent. You cannot pay your mortgage. For this, you have Jesus. For this, I have Jesus. Say it and believe it. Were you diagnosed with cancer? For this, say and believe. For this, for cancer, I have Jesus. Are you alone? Are you abandoned? Are you brokenhearted? Are you in a dark place? Are you depressed? Believe and say, "For this, I have Jesus." Remember, no matter the storm, Jesus is the one who can rebuke the wind and calm the seas, just with one word. Because He's the Creator. Remember that He's not saving us from the storm, but He's saving us through the storm. He is with us in the storm. For this, whatever it is, I have Jesus. Amen.